We got something for him. A whole lot of strapping.
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen is a premier player.
Starting cornerback for your Chicago Bears.
Jalen's just a real talk expert. He just tells you how he feels.
I have those type of goals and aspirations, and I know to get a Yellow Jacket, you got to be consistently great. And I think for me, that's my goal, is to consistently be great.
2023 Pro Bowl selection.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson. Johnson, untouched for the touchdown.
2023 All-Pro.
Well, and it's a little bit of the Deion Sanders effect. When you're playing opposite of Jalen Johnson,
takes you inside the locker room after every Bears game.
Pass play on the way, and it's going to be third and goal now.
I want you to watch on the outside Johnson, number one. He's going to do a great job by the end of this of staying on the front pylon to get out here. He actually ends up allowing the receiver to go behind him because he knows that ball has to go over his head. Really smart, because those balls always end up back at the front pylon for touchdowns. He's having as good a year as any corner in the National Football League.
Daniels trying to answer back. First two options are closed down. Gets rid of it before Swift can lay a hit on him.
Like, see, Johnson, no one throws the ball on him, by the way, Jim. He gives up like a 20 quarterback rating.
Daniels down the middle, incomplete. Went back to Ertz.
Problem was, he threw that. The one guy you don't want to go attacking man-to-man, Jalen Johnson, is going to be a first-team All-Pro.
And the ball is caught! It's a miracle!
So Jalen Johnson, the only guy boxing out. No other player was boxing out.
Boy, that boy, animal, he's a whole goat, man.
Jalen Johnson, with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We look forward to talking with Jalen Johnson, win or lose. This segment with Jalen Johnson is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals. Available 24-7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. It's also brought to you by Busey Bank, building businesses, growing well since 1868. And the fine folks over at Phillips Chevrolet, the number one selling Chevy dealer in Illinois for 18 years in a row.
Jalen, you can be seen on our Twitch feed, and we appreciate you joining us every Monday at 5 o'clock as you do. And watching you listen to that open produced by Chris Tannehill, didn't react much to the kind words from Tony Romo, but when you heard the Hail Mary call, that seemed to put you in a place. How are you feeling today about that play and what happened at the end of that game?
How am I feeling about it? It still doesn't feel like real for sure. Like, just kind of like thinking about it, like when you just think about it, but definitely going in, it's like, damn, we definitely lost the game like that. Like, just like even like hearing it and seeing it, like, I damn near don't even check my ESPN app because I feel like that's all like I'm going to see. You go on, of course, look on TV. That's all they show. So, I mean, really, it's just like, damn, like we really went out like that. Like, it's crazy because, like, even like before, like I was talking to the guys, and I'm just like, bro, the offense gonna score. We don't have to go out here and get a stop. It's just gonna be like, it's gonna be on us. Like, just like keep trying to keep the guys up. Just telling the guys, like, man, this is what we work hard for. Like, gotta go out here and just close the game out. Prime time TV, man. That's it. Just go out here, close the game out, and get home.
Yeah, man. Go ahead.
We did everything we could until that last play.
Yeah, I mean, the emotional roller coaster for fans, it must have been crazy for you to have those emotions rolling like that. And then we heard today, Jalen, that every team in the NFL is pretty much using that play as a teaching tool. So you guys are the teaching tool.
Yeah, it works like that.
Yeah, right?
Sadly, it does. I mean, we definitely watch other teams, and when they do stuff, we definitely like, man, look at these dudes, man. We got to make sure we are on top of our stuff, and we are definitely those dudes that we are being looked at and saying, don't do it like that. So, I mean, I know how it is.
How should the play have been defended?
I mean, it's really a man-to-man play. You double-team the best player. I mean, whoever their selected player is, you double-team him. Everybody else is, of course, body on a body. And then, shoot, really just trying to stop a guy from getting to the ball. And then KB is the jumper. He goes, tries to knock the ball down, and then that's pretty much it.
So when you guys
we have a back tip guy too, just in case something like that happens as well. So
yeah, and Kevin Byard mentioned that's Elijah Hicks, who's the back tip guy. Like we all been trying to figure out who's doing what. And you were bodying up on McLaurin, right?
Right. No doubt. And too, I mean, honestly, realistically speaking, it was a whole lot of things that could have been done differently. And I think that's like like the frustration, like the frustrating part, of course, not being where it was supposed to be lined up. I feel like just for us in that moment, it was a rush situation when it didn't have to be. I feel like we definitely could have slowed down. Definitely, I mean, kind of just looking at it, I feel like we could have possibly took a timeout or something to kind of get everybody situated, figure out who we're going to box out, kind of get everybody calmed down and just ready for that last play. But of course, that didn't happen. But I mean, at the end of the day, we still kind of we knew our responsibilities. That definitely isn't something that can go without being said. We knew our responsibilities, but it's a lot harder when you're trying to figure things out on the go versus in practice. It's a control setting. Okay, hey, this is who we're double teaming. We get everybody lined up, make sure they know where they're at. Versus in that situation after the play where Terry McLaurin called the first pass, now we're kind of looking and scrambling. Like, okay, what, like, who are we double teaming? Who's going to be who? Where are we going to be at? I mean, I was calling Tremaine over from the other side of the field. I'm like, I'm just trying to figure out, okay, like, who we double team. I'm like, shoot, let's just double Terry McLaurin. Like, he's their best guy. So, I mean, we were kind of doing stuff like that on the fly. That wasn't even really communicated beforehand. We were just trying to get in the best position we could on the fly, snap the ball. I mean, everything happened the way it happened, happened so quick, and then we weren't lined up where we were supposed to be.
It's rare that another opportunity like this is going to happen again against you guys, but right. What do you hope happens between now and whenever that next opportunity is for you guys to get it right the next time?
I mean, sure. Really just start with knowing what we're doing, I think, too. Really just start on knowing what you're doing. Because, I mean, it's not hard to execute, quite honestly. It's just knowing who's doing what. Again, like, I mean, in the moment, we're trying to figure it out on the go. I feel like for us, that's not a situation for us that we had to figure out on the go. I feel like we could easily have talked about it and made sure everybody was in the right spots. I think, too, a lot of things were just going on, and we weren't on our details. And I feel like, too, like I said, after the game, it's like situation like that. There's no pass, like, they're not calling pass interference. They're not going to end the game in a situation where it's like, oh, pass interference, and now you put them on the 1 yard line. Like, you're not getting that call. Like, that, there's never been a PI on a Hail Mary. So to me, it's like, I'm going, and like, me and Terry McLaurin, we damn near got in a fight in the middle of the play, because I went and bodied him and was pushing, and it's like, he's pushing me back in the face. I mean, we just kind of going at it, but it's like, there's no flag. So I think, too, it's like, when the ball's in the air, I think the natural football in you trying to kind of get in position and go for the ball, or kind of trying to like not be too violent. It's like, nah, that's the really one of the only plays that you can be violent and not get called for. Like, you can jump on a guy's back, rip guys to the ground. Like, nobody cares, because I mean, the offense can do it to us. It's pretty much like a free play. It's whoever gets to the ball gets to the ball. So I feel like really in that situation, the guy, there was too many people in the air. Like, nah, that shouldn't even, the offense shouldn't have been able to have opportunity to jump. And we didn't need all our guys jumping. Like, at the end of the day, we're just trying to make sure that they don't catch it. So I feel like we really could have just kind of, I think, kind of just slowed down and just focus on what the objective is right now. And that's just generally not letting them catch it.
Bears cornerback Jalen Johnson joining us here on Spiegel and Holmes. Jalen, the play before, what would have been your preference? Is it playing it the way you guys played it? Or in retrospect, you go, we probably should have pinched up?
I think in that situation, I feel like it definitely could have been where, I mean, there's really two plays. I know one that we have, of course, everybody like lines up on the sideline and make him have to throw the ball inside or throw the ball away. Because I feel like two in that moment, I think it was about 8 seconds left, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been about 7 or 8 seconds left. I wasn't necessarily thinking Hail Mary, and I think they were on like the plus side of the 50 or the minus side of the 50. So it's like they're not throwing – to me, I didn't think they were throwing a 75-yard Hail Mary. So I think just in that, I think we definitely could have been up closer. And if they did go Hail Mary, we definitely have conversions within that coverage to where it's okay. If they go Hail Mary, we all got to match up and get a body on a body, and we still went over that plenty of times. So I think for me, too, kind of just wanted to, like you said, get up closer, because, I mean, those – 10 yards to me made a big difference, because he didn't even get the ball to the goal line where they were at. So, I mean, I feel like outside of if they wouldn't have got those yardage, I mean, that yardage before, I think it definitely wouldn't even been a Hail Mary situation. It probably would have been one of those backyard ball where they just kind of throw the ball, try back and forth and try to figure out a way to get 60 yards or 70 yards, whatever it was. So it definitely could have been could have been done differently. But I mean, at the end of the day, we had our thought process, and at the end of the day, we still could have found a way to execute.
It's another spot where maybe there could be a timeout. They had just taken one with that 6 seconds left, and you guys could have theoretically. The rules for a timeout say that players on the field can call them. It's a head coach or it's players. Do you guys have somebody? Is that you or is that Kevin Byard who is designated as somebody who's allowed to call a timeout?
We don't have that on defense.
Okay. Seems like...
Yeah, nah.
I wonder if that'll come up when the leadership council meets, because... You guys might realize a situation like that again where, I mean, it's risky. Timeouts are valuable, but at that point, you're in your final 8 seconds of the game.
Correct, 100%. The timeouts definitely could have been useful for sure to kind of take a deep breath, get everybody aligned, and even really think about and go over the situation. I feel like it's a lot harder to look at the whole situation as a whole and make the right adjustment based on the timing, the yardage, the situation. I feel like that's a lot easier when you have time, clear mind, where people can gather and talk, our analytics people can talk and figure out, okay, what's the best defense for us to be in this situation with this down or yardage on the field and things like that. I mean, it just really slows and calms the game down versus kind of just letting the clock speed us up and we're at the mercy of the clock. So, I mean, just overall, there's – operation just can be better. And then, of course, technique and finishing the play can be a whole lot better as well.
It's pretty amazing, Jalen. Like, the offense had this situation a few weeks ago where they went to the coaches and asked about the first 15 plays, and the coaches listened and responded. And now here we are with a situation on the defense where it seems guys on the field had a good idea of perhaps a timeout or something that could have happened. Is this an uncomfortable amount of players driving the bus on stuff does this feel normal to you in terms of an NFL team?
Feel normal as far as what?
Well, as far as the players kind of coaching up the coaches a little bit, frankly.
I think it really just takes two-way communication. I mean, I feel like it's not even a situation of us coaching up the coaches, but I feel like it's every team, every player, every situation is different. So I think when we have the team that we have, it's a new team. It's not, you can't look at it like, okay, it's the same team from last year. It's like, nah, it's a new team, new situation, new year, new circumstances. Like, things are completely different. I mean, it's no different with you having one girlfriend, you have another girlfriend, it's like, oh, I can do the same thing. You can't do the same thing. You can't communicate the same way. I mean, it's a whole different person. You have to adapt and communicate and be able to take their communication as well. I mean, some may be reserved, some may be open about their communication. I mean, at the end of the day, if it's somebody you're in partnership with, which with our coaches, we're all in partnership to figure out the best way to win. I mean, some years it's going to be a lot of communication from the players. Some years it's going to be more so listening. It really just depends on the year, depends on what's going on. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's a player's game. It's a player's league. I mean, we're going out there executing. So, I mean, at the end of the day, if it's a situation where we're not going out there executing, there needs to be a conversation with that, whether that's being put in better positions, being having a conversation, and the players have to own up to what their responsibilities are and find ways to execute it. I mean, the responsibility goes hand in hand. It's their job to put us in the best position to succeed, and it's our job to go out there and execute.
Do you feel like they're going to be open to you guys talking to them about some of the specifics from yesterday's game and maybe make some changes that would make you guys more comfortable?
Pertaining to what I would say?
Like, if you guys say to them, hey, can we designate someone to be the guy on defense that can call a timeout? Or, hey, if there is a situation where you guys feel like you might be in the wrong defense, like, well, what can you do? Will they be open to the idea of you guys walking in there and say, Coach, can we get a little help on this? Or will they kind of tell you, hey, this is the way it is, and this is how you just have to work through it?
I don't know what the timeout is. It's always been a established rule. I know since I've been in the league that the head coach is the only one that calls the timeout. So, I mean, especially for defense, that's not something that we've ever thought about doing. Okay, like, we should have called a timeout, or we're able to call a timeout. That's not ever something that I've never had a conversation or even thought for us to, like, mm-hmm. for the player to call a timeout. At the end of the day, that's the coach's job. That's not on the player's job to be able to call that timeout and things like that. I think really overall, where I can't say. I mean, I would hope that the coaches are open as far as hearing what we want or as far as being able to adapt and see certain things. But I mean, quite frankly, the truth of the matter is whatever we get, whatever we're given as far as a call, as far as directions to go in, I mean, that's what we got to execute on, whether, quite frankly, we like it or not. I mean, that's is what it is. I mean, of course, there's times where I've been on a team where it was like, nah, we checking that. But I mean, that's definitely something that is able to be done technically. But I mean, that's not something that just is something that will just make a common thing or just, okay, yeah, we're just going to go out here and do the opposite of what the hell the coach says. So, yep. It's just really an unfortunate situation sometimes when it goes like that.
I had to check the rules, Jalen. I didn't know the rules for sure. I had to check to see if a player can do it on defense. They can. But anyway, so do we
assistant coaches can't do it. There was a couple – cannot.
Right.
There were a couple assistant coaches that tried to call timeouts in games, and I want to say it was like a big like Sunday night game, and it was granted – and it wasn't supposed to be.
I remember that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The head coach is the only coach that can do it.
But a quarterback can do it, and apparently it's usually a linebacker, but it could be a defensive captain. We're with Jalen Johnson here. So, man, have you guys as a leadership council met and talked about what you're going to say to Tyreek? How has that gone on? So far from your perspective, Tyreek spoke to the media today. He obviously apologized on Twitter last night. Heavy situation. You as his teammate, as his friend, and a member of the leadership council. It's got to be an interesting spot for you.
I mean, no, not really. I think what really is there to say? I feel like one thing my dad always told me is life is your best teacher. So, I mean, there's nothing that anybody can say to, I guess, get it. For him to understand it even better or at a serious degree. I mean, at the end of the day, we lost the game, not necessarily because of like that last play. Of course, there were plenty of people that weren't doing what we were supposed to be doing. But I think in that moment, knowing if he would have been locked in, I think it would have been a 0% chance of them getting that ball. But I mean, for me, it's like there's nothing to say. I mean, it hurts him. It hurts us. It hurts the team. I mean, it's not necessarily, okay, like, bro, you got to make sure that you're locked in. Like, I'll be beating a dead horse. And I mean, that at this point, that horse is very, very much so dead. Like, he's, like, heard about it. I mean, it wasn't too many words really said today because, I mean, he knows the degree of what happened. And, I mean, at the end of the day, he's still going to be our guy, still going to be our starting corner. So, I mean, it's not really too much to go really into detail. We just got to continue to really love him up in the situation because that can get heavy mentally. Then at the end of the day, we still need him to go out here and be the best defense that we can be. And that starts with giving another opportunity on Sunday. And we just can really go from there. It's not too much really to be said outside of loving him up and getting him going in the right direction.
Jalen, I want to play a soundbite for you from one of your teammates and get your response to it. This is what was said by Cole Kmet about kind of overall some things that he feel like might be falling through the cracks.
You know, unfortunately, in that scenario, like he's a guy, you know, gets caught with somebody with a camera and obviously the result of the play that happens and all those type of things. But I think it's a really a good lesson for everybody to learn from in terms of how to respect the game. And I think we had examples of that throughout the game and quite frankly, throughout the week of practice this past week where, you know, there's moments where maybe some guys lay off here and there. And those are the type of things that can happen when you do that for just a split second. And you know, it doesn't always come to bite you in the butt, but when it does, it hurts. And that's the unfortunate and I would also say beauty of this game is that, you know, you disrespect it in a certain way and it'll come to haunt you in some form of fashion. So I think it's a learning experience for everybody. We all play with a lot of passion. Tyreek plays with a lot of passion and we all love him for that. But there's definitely a respect level of the game and knowing that you got to finish it out until those double zeros at the clock.
Have you seen some of the stuff that Cole was talking about and what do you think of what he had to say?
Cole ain't never lied. I mean, that's the truth, honestly. I mean, at the end of the day, there's definitely times for us, of course, we're never going to do everything 100% correct and that nobody's going to be perfect, but I definitely feel like there are times really top to bottom that we're not either detailed enough or detailing the right stuff. Guys not, I would say, locked into their assignments. We're not redoing plays, or we're kind of, if somebody messes up, we're not correcting it in that moment. I think just really just being, like you said, respecting the game, being detailed, giving a damn enough to really just do things the right way. And I think there's plenty of things for us to either do, or the things that we are doing, do better. And it will, like you said, really just planting the right seeds for us to go out there and win and play winning football. And I think for us too, it's like, yeah, it's big, like big on process and big on doing things the right way. But at the end of the day, what I've been saying is it matters what we do on Sunday, and we can be locked in. I mean, we've been locked in on the goal line, and the Hail Mary play. We've done, got in position, we've done it, detailed it, but we didn't do it on Sunday. So it's like, yeah, we can say that, but we didn't execute when Sunday hits. So, I mean, really just at the end of the day, we need to do things better, have a better operation throughout the week, a better way of detailing things. But at the end of the day, we got to take that from practice into the game and ultimately make the plays that we need to make to win the games that we need to win.
Yeah, you know, I had to go back and look, Jalen. It was after the Colts game where you said to us that guys have to check their egos. Guys have to, like, put your ego aside and make sure you do what's best for the team. And it's hard to do. It's hard to do. Like, I saw Tyreek and Terry McLaurin going at it, and McLaurin screaming from the sideline, "You ain't ish! You ain't ish!" And we're all watching that on TV, and it's like, but he's got to put the ego aside in that kind of moment, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really see, of course, like, that part for me to be able to, like, say, oh, like, he did X, Y, Z. I didn't really see it, but, I mean, I definitely know it's always, I would say, Tariq's like that competitor to where it's like the trash talk and doing certain things that, of course, he hasn't, I don't think he's been flagged for, but definitely has been close. I feel like it was one of those situations where I feel like they were looking for him in that situation to where he was the one that got the flag. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's really just comes down to just knowing how to win. I've been saying it for a very long time, is just knowing how to win, knowing the time, knowing the place, knowing the, just knowing the game, knowing the flow. Just, I mean, we needed everything that we can get in that moment. We needed all hands on deck. We needed everything. So, I mean, just really knowing the game. I mean, now if we're up 2 touchdowns, trash talking, getting a 15-yard penalty, that doesn't really affect the game really too much, or the likelihood of it affecting the game isn't really too much. But just in that situation, we've been down pretty much the whole, well, not even pretty much, we were down the whole game. Like, we need everything that we can get. But it just, I mean, at the end of the day, life is the best teacher, and I'm sure that he'll learn and grow from it, and he'll be able to look back in his career. Hopefully it's a long career, and he'll be able to look back like, nah, I know I messed up my second year, da da da, and he'll be able to pass his scars down when he's a vet to the younger guys in his room. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's done. We're past it now, and we all got to continue to just find ways to move past it and grow from it.
So Romeo Doubs was suspended for a game by the Packers a couple weeks ago. Jair Alexander suspended a game last year when he made himself a fake captain. Remember that one week?
Yeah.
He's a crazy person. But anyway, like, how would you feel if Tyreek got punished in some way? You know, whether it's not starting or something like that. Do you expect that at all? And how would you feel if that happened?
Do I expect that? I wouldn't say I expect that. I mean, at the end of the day, that's the decision of mine to make. That's completely up to the coaches, the staff. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if it was to happen, at the end of the day, there's consequences to every decision or to every action that we make. So, I mean, it's really just going on. If it does happen, I mean, shoot, it happens. I mean, it's not like it happened for no reason or something that just didn't matter. It wasn't like a big deal. I mean, the game is a big deal. The last play of the game is a big deal. I mean, just the execution of certain things are a big deal. But I mean, at the end of the day, everybody has their hand in the things that they could have done better, things that they wanted to do. I just feel like too for him, it was something where his was caught in the biggest moment. Not necessarily that it wasn't, his actions were just that bad, but it's just like in that moment, and they caught the play. I mean, if they didn't catch the ball, nobody would be talking about Tariq talking at the end of the game. I mean, we'd have been taunting him, make the play, he'd go back to taunting him, and everybody's okay, yeah, like we talk. Like, I mean, the game with the outlook on him doing that would have been totally different if the guy didn't catch the ball. So, I mean, it's not just simply as that. Like I said, it's about results, and we didn't get results, so certain things didn't put us in the right position to win, and that was one of them.
You're a real one, Jalen Johnson. We appreciate the conversation, man.
We truly do, and thank you for always being available no matter what and being a great ambassador to Bears fans that are trying to figure out what's going on.
No doubt. You guys have a good one.
All right, man. Go beat Arizona, all right? Let's have some fun next week.
Lord knows we need to.
It's very serious now in the NFC because things are not great for the Bears from a math standpoint right now.
One more. Jalen, are you there?
I think he's gone.
I think he's there. I see him. Oh, yeah. He's reaching back for the mute.
Yeah, I was trying to get the mute.
Yeah, you're the man.
Well, then I have another one, too.
All right, good. Well, let's keep going. So look, it's time. It's time for you to cover the best receivers.
That's the question.
Right. It's time for you to be. It's ridiculous to be on Terry McLaurin all damn day. That 61-yarder probably doesn't happen. Come on. You're Jalen Johnson. Tony Romo said you're first team all pro. You heard it right there. Who cares what I said a couple weeks ago? So it's time. How about you on Marvin Harrison Jr.? Both sides next week. Let's go.
Hey, man. If I could, I would, boss. It's not up to me. So, I mean, our Lord knows if I can get back in that mode of cover number ones, I wouldn't hesitate. I wouldn't be far off from doing it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, that's not my call. It's not, I mean, unfortunately, it's just not my call, not my decision to make. I mean, at the end of the day, we still, I mean, definitely believe in all of our guys. I think it's just one of those things where sometimes we feel like it's just best for things to be simplified a little bit, and it's a little simpler being filled boundary, route concepts, or pretty much the same from the field perspective, from the boundary perspective. I mean, being able to have a read. I mean, even in a run, having Tariq as a bigger corner, setting some certain edges and filling certain crack of place and the things like that is something that they like for him to do. Of course, having me to the field, being able to play more of the pass concept and things like that. So, I mean, it's definitely a rhyme or a reason. But I would say for us, just being able to figure out the best way to win. So, I mean, whatever they feel as the staff or as the coaching that will give us the best opportunity to win, I'm willing to do it. So, I mean, as long as I get enough time, of course, to get in that mode and to be able to train and study that way, I mean, I'm all for it. I think there's nothing that really I would turn down for sure.
That's, I think, something that a lot of Bears fans were wondering about and wanted to hear from you. So I'm glad that we got it in and we've kept you over time. So thank you for answering that final question, man. We appreciate you and good luck out in the desert.
No doubt. Appreciate it.
That's Jalen Johnson, Bears cornerback and truth teller.
Woo! We got some stuff to react to from there, sir.
Yeah, there's a lot. I'm like Joni Mitchell, apparently, Cole Kmet never lies. So I am here for that. I'm glad that we played it for him, and I'm glad that he's available to us and to you.
I hope he never leaves because you don't know what you got till it's gone.
I see what you did there.
I saw what you did there.
On and on, it seems to go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, we need to take a break. So you can react to that if you want. Your text messages, you can be inside the Twitch chat as well. If you want to call us, 312-644-6767. There's a lot there. Back after this on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback.
But I think it's a really a good lesson for everybody to learn from in terms of how to respect the game. And I think we had examples of that throughout the game and quite frankly, throughout the week of practice this past week where, you know, there's moments where maybe some guys lay off here and there.
Cole ain't never lied. And I mean, that's the truth.
Cole ain't never lied. I couldn't make that out in real time. I'm so glad you brought that back, Danny. One of several incredible moments with Jalen Johnson.
He was terrific and honest. And I really hope that what we're seeing is a team full of honest, hardworking guys doing their best to push other guys and it turning out well. The reaction that people have had inside of our text line, folks that are the Twitch mob is out there listening to this. Understand, we are very lucky on this station and on this show to have someone like Jalen. And quite honestly, the DJ Moore stuff this morning with Mully and Haw was incredible. This is kind of unprecedented. Like, I know that for all show, I've seemed shocked, and it's because I am. Mm-hmm. This is not usually the way that this goes.
I think we're seeing what has been developing a couple different things. We have a new era of NFL football player and young American, frankly, in a lot of ways, David Bowie, who try to communicate with intent and like try to really be honest and lay it all out there and truly do believe when they can just own their issues and own the truth that maybe they can get better at stuff. And we've heard that a lot now. I've heard that from Jalen for 3 years.
Yeah.
In this time slot of 5 o'clock on a Monday. And Cole Kmet is that way.
DJ Moore is that way.
Kevin Byard is I believe that way to the best of our knowledge.
And he's a little older though.
Yes, he is.
That's what's so fascinating about it. And like, there's a part of me that's like, man, they're going to get this corrected because there's so many guys being honest. And then there's a part of me that's like, I'm really worried that this is going to devolve.
Well, because what's scary about it is that at least publicly, their head coach is not like that. And that is a serious, serious disconnect.
Yeah.
And it, because the head coach, as recently as today, did not own any of his mistakes from yesterday. He acknowledged yesterday and today that pressure could have been an option on the Hail Mary. That's it. He didn't own that they should have
pinched up.
He didn't own that he could have called timeout or should have called timeout. He didn't own that anything mattered until the last play. He didn't own that the play call on the handoff to Kramer was a problem. He didn't own anything. You got a bunch of players trying to own their own stuff, including Tyreek Stevenson today, and players willing to call out their own teammates because they know that's the culture they need, but you don't have a head coach who's instilling that.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
So here's hoping that it works. I do want to get back to Tyreek Stevenson because there were a lot of people who had opinions about Tyreek Stevenson, and it led SportsCenter today. It led First Take. It led Halftime last night on Football Night in America. This is what they had to say about Tyreek Stevenson and the way that the Bears game ended.
It comes down to the last play of the game sometimes. NFL game happens, one play decides the game, and you watch this, you have Tyreek Stevenson, the last play of the game. He's worried about the fans. His back is to the ball. These guys are running down the field. You would hope another player would be like, hey, Reek, get in here. But when you watch this, you heard Eberflus well-detailed everything that's supposed to happen. I got on Simpson pregame and said, hey, don't call out Byard. He might be doing the right thing. We don't know right now. When we watch this, he said you're supposed to box out. I saw Jalen Johnson, the only guy boxing out. No other player was boxing out. It was a lot of guys kind of panicking because when the ball gets thrown, you're sitting there, you're like, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to get right here. You're supposed to box out. And guys are like,
every one of them went for the ball.
Yep.
And there's young Noah Brown in the back waiting for the touchdown. Absolutely.
If you're Matt Eberflus and you know him as on your coaching staff as your defensive coordinator, how do you handle the 2-year pro in Tyreek Stevenson after seeing what we just saw?
This is what I see Flus doing in the meeting tomorrow. Take accountability for the play before the last play. Guys, we should have had guys up there. He'll take accountability for even though they've practiced thing 100 times, maybe we didn't coach it well enough. But the big thing he will not take accountability for is Tyreek Stevenson not being ready. Talking to the crowd, he's going to address that and address it hard in the team meeting, and that's what he needs to do.
And I would say the coach is going to correct him. He's going to discipline him, whatever they decide. As a veteran player, you now need to pick this guy up. It's only a second year. We got to move on. He plays. He's a starter for them. He's a big-time player. We got to get him back on the right path after a mistake.
Hey, listen, the sixth time in the NFL history we've seen rookies that have gone 1-2 go against each other, that lived up to the building. That was a fun one.
Boy, that's great stuff. That's a good pull by you. I did not see that last night. And Jason Garrett there speaking to exactly what we were just talking about, that he hopes privately, he assumes privately, he suggests privately that Matt Eberflus points a thumb and takes some accountability. He's not doing that publicly, so but he better do it privately or else you don't have any credibility with your own team.
One more of these. Bill Belichick had some thoughts about this as well.
Worst case scenario for Tyrique Stevenson. Worst case scenario. We went through it every single week during our walkthrough. At the very end, there was always, I assume you guys did as well. What do you think? This was just lack of focus in a key moment? Because obviously 29 is a part of the story. They're 40 yards down the field already. He's still talking to the crowd. How's that happen? And what do you think happens there between Coach Eberflus and he today or after the game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a ridiculous play. You know, doesn't get the call, doesn't know how they're going to play it. Terrible play by Stevenson. He has no idea what's going on and runs over there and jumps up and volleyballs it up in the air for a game-losing play. It was terrible.
It was. I thought it was a fake video. When it hit the internet, I thought it was a fake video. I said, there's no way. This is the NFL. This is the NFL. There's no way in this moment. You're literally 6-7 seconds away from a win. Yeah. You can hold off.
Yep.
6-7 seconds. Can you not, even if you need to talk to somebody,
No, you don't need to. You don't need to. That's where you get with your teammates and say, okay, I'm going up for the jump. I'm going to have the outside tip. I'm going to have the in front tip. I'm going to have the back tip. Because you don't want them to tip it forward and have somebody catch it on the 5-6 yard line and just walk into the end zone either. So you really want to kind of box out the potential receivers, but have somebody who's big and strong and tall enough to go and jump high enough to get the ball and make sure that, you know, the receiver just doesn't jump up and pull it down for the catch. But then you have to be ready to handle the tip. And of course, you can get two hands on the ball. The best thing to do is just knock it straight down onto the ground.
I thought we were done with this, man. National embarrassment.
No, we're just getting started. This is going to be a theme for the week. And this is part of the baggage that Tyreek's going to have to carry. And I know he says he doesn't care about what happened in the outside of the building, but he is the story of the NFL this week, and that's messed up. We'll take a break. Back after this on The Score.